The Gabcast, a podcast about BellGab.com. Visit UFOship.com for live streaming and chat. The Gabcast is not legally responsible for your feelings.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Gabcast. September 15th edition of the Gabcast. I'm Eddie Dean. We've got Owen and B-Dub and Jazzmunda. What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hello.
Back to the show, everybody. Has it been 2 weeks since we did a show?
It's been an eternity.
It seems like a lot longer than that for some reason. I don't know why.
Nope, 2 weeks.
Was it good? Was the last show good?
They're all fucking great.
I can't remember anymore.
We haven't been canceled yet, so.
Yeah, really. Tanko still says we're going to get paid any day now, so nothing's changed.
Really?
The tens of dollars are rolling in still, so.
That's right.
I got the paparazzi coming to my house. That's all I can say.
If you guys would like to be a part of the show tonight, the number is 623-242-2278. Again, that's 623-242-CAST. You guys ever have... what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to not say a lot tonight. So I'm trying to stop saying that. Because I've noticed a few times... I just did it. it's just like part of my...
You failed!
Right out of the gate, I failed.
It's not that you failed. It's not that you failed. You actually... You could have said it... You could have said, five times, but you only said it once. Good job.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Take victories when you can get them. So, I don't know why I share that with everybody, because now everybody is going to be listening to me say, counting the times that I say, maybe the people in the chat room would like
to. There's number two.
I didn't even hear that. Maybe the people in the chat room can count out every time that I say,
Well, maybe that would be fun. Maybe we can.
I think we've got a new drinking game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let's turn it into a drinking game and get smashed.
Way ahead of you there.
What do you mean?
I think you've said, like 500 times already today, so I've been working on it.
Well, I'm trying. I'm sorry, everybody. I ruined the show tonight. It's just
I'll tell you what, I will start using more often.
Do you guys want to talk about something?
It'll all even out.
That's true, it will. And that's what's scary.
Or maybe not. Who knows how the uhs are counted. Anyway.
Whew. That's deep, man.
Wow.
That's deep.
What do you guys... geez, I just said it again. What would you guys like to talk about tonight? You want to do the urban legends thing?
Nah.
Out of the gate?
Yeah.
I mean, is it strong enough right after the conversation to talk about urban legends?
It's the only thing we plan to do tonight, so no, let's not do it.
Yeah, really.
I love it.
Have you guys been following the news? Apparently we just bombed ISIS or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
I suppose that's better than bombing here.
Or bombing on the Gabcast. So what was it, drones? They take drones and do that? Beat up?
U.S. launches airstrikes against ISIS militants south of Iraqi capital and near Mount Sinjar.
Wow. When did that start?
Well, I'm looking at the BBC website, and I'm saying, like, in the last 8 hours, I'm guessing.
So probably cruise missiles off of in the Gulf?
I don't know.
How many people were injured? Does it say that? Because George needs a good laugh tonight.
Yeah, were there any goodness. Dead babies?
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Nothing?
It's like breaking news. They don't have a lot of information right now.
Oh. Okay.
Well, get back to us when you've got some more information.
I'll do that.
Yeah, just jump in when there's any breaking news.
You can be our science correspondent.
You can be our news guy.
Yeah.
I might even have some news background music. But I won't say
sexy news.
Very sexy,
sexy news.
Sexy
news.
So, any urban legends? Jazz, did you have one?
Yeah, I do. I've actually got a local, got to pull it up here, a local to where I live. We have a casino downtown called Crown Casino, and apparently they've built a morgue in the bowels of the complex to store the bodies. And the myth is often accompanied by stories of secret passages and exit to smuggle bodies around the building. And it's the biggest casino in Melbourne, and the morgue has been built underneath to deal with the constant stream of corpses, or at the very least to ferry them underground to the hospital's morgue. And this myth is often accompanied by the talk of there being specially trained personnel that will quickly and easily make these bodies disappear. And it is rumoured that the last cubicle in each bathroom is always occupied because it's connected to the hallways in order to get and tunnels in order to get people out who kill themselves in the bathroom. And the bathrooms are said to have such a high suicide rate that they're actually engineered to rotate so that you can get quick disposal of the body, and so that presumably the next visitor to the bathroom isn't deterred from further gambling by discovering two casino employees wheeling a corpse down the hallway. And apparently the numbers are cited to vary from a sensible 3 per year to a horrifying 30 or 40. And
wow.
Yeah, so apparently suicide in our casino is quite an epidemic. So,
I say we got a new gambling stream.
Yes. So I don't know if this is the same at all casinos or whether it's just in my fair city, but you would expect that suicide rates around casinos are fairly high.
And accidental deaths too, I would think. You know, free drinks, you're gambling, somebody hands you a couple pills, next thing, you know, you're not breathing in the bathroom.
Or if you win too much.
Well, yeah. When I was in Vegas, I noticed the lack of balconies on any of the hotels, so I'm assuming that that's to stop people from jumping off.
Yeah, stop drunk people from jumping out of their hotel windows.
I think that's pretty common, though, these days, isn't it? Not to have, like, the ability to open, like, windows when you're up, like, more than, you know, 3 stories or something.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But you go to Florida or any of those, you know, sunny vacation places that have high-rise buildings, and they all have balconies to enjoy the sea views.
Well, apparently you do a lot more traveling than I do. I do remember when I was in the Bahamas that we had a balcony, but I don't spend a lot of time in hotels.
I was speaking more from the point of view of if you have just a window, you know, big picture windows, if you don't have a balcony in a Las Vegas hotel room, you can't open the windows. I mean, of course, you'd be able to get out on the balcony, but if you have, you know, if you're in one of the higher floors, you can't just open the window and throw stuff out or, you know, jump out.
Isn't that one of an old or at least a long-standing urban legend about some guy escorting or showing people around this high rise, and he's showing how the windows are safe, and he jumps up against the window and it breaks and he plummets to his death. Yeah,
I think that
does sound like an urban legend. I've never heard it, but it has all the
I agree.
Of one. Yeah,
I just read a story a couple months ago about that very thing. Some guy said that he, you know, the windows were safe. And he jumped up against it, and it didn't break. And then he got back further and took a longer run and jumped up against it, and it broke. And he fell to his death. The end.
If at first you don't succeed, try again. You big dumbass. That kind of reminds me of the...
Oh, no!
That reminds me of the guy who was giving like a gun safety. It was like a DEA agent was giving everyone like a gun safety class, and then accidentally shoots himself in the leg in a classroom. They're not like even on a range. He's just got this gun loaded and it goes off. He shoots himself while he's giving a gun safety class.
Well, I've heard someone trying to shoot a gun. Gun doesn't work, so he looks down the barrel of the gun and pulls the trigger and
bam!
Yeah.
Ooh. You never know.
Listen, class, what's the one thing this man did wrong?
He blew his head off.
You got to learn from it. You have to.
That's right.
Your instructor accidentally shoots himself in the face in a gun safety class.
An opportunity to learn. Yes, I agree.
It's an opportunity. Yeah, if you survive. Goodness.
A good teacher is teaching to everyone else.
Except the dead guy who's laying in a pool of his own blood.
So when I was doing research about this casino tale, I read an article where the casino denied this, so there's no surprise there.
Denied that there was a morgue in the...
That they had a morgue, that there were so many dead bodies that they needed to have a morgue down the bottom.
And the gangsters run the casinos all the time.
Yes.
And that's how Soylent Green gets made.
Yes.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what Soylent Green is?
No, I don't.
The movie with Charlton Heston?
Oh, okay. I thought it was some sort of a product for dead bodies.
Well, it is. It's delicious. I like my Soylent Green with a little wasabi and some soy sauce. But getting back to Jazz's story, nice. Jazz, do you think that's true? You don't think that's true, do you?
No, well, I assume that there are a lot of people who do commit suicide at the casino or after losing a lot of money there. But whether they need to have a morgue because it's such a high rate, I don't know. I mean, I know that we've got quite a large bridge here, and from what I've heard, there are a lot of people who jump daily on that, but you never hear about it in the news, obviously to deter other people from copycats.
What all the hip kids are doing these days. Yeah.
So I'm sure that there are people who commit suicide at the casino, but it's something that's not reported widely. So you can imagine that rumors spread out, but yeah.
Huh.
You don't think that there's the mob in the casinos in Australia, Jez?
We got people everywhere.
We got a morgue in every room. It's true. But I'll never admit it on the air.
Okay. I needed to play that.
Yeah.
We got people everywhere.
If anyone else would like to call in with their urban legends, 623-242-2278.
Well, look at you, Jazz, being all professional and such. Yeah.
Nice. I think I'm going to take the rest of the show off. Very nice. There was an urban legend when I was growing up in northern Arizona, and it was just a grave, just a single grave out in the middle of nowhere, a gravestone, and I believe that there was a white picket fence around it or something, and the legend was that this girl died suddenly right at that spot when her family was, you know, going to California or traveling. I think this was in the 1800s. And when she died, they just buried her right there. I don't know how the gravestone got there, unless they, you know, had a gravestone for each one of their children that they took with them traveling. But
the gravestone died there too.
Oh, nice. But the legend was, is if you go there at night, and you say her name. I can't remember if you say her name three times or if you just go there at night. You can see her walking around or you can hear her crying. And it's called Angelina's Grave in Prescott, Arizona. We got a call.
Have you ever been there?
Oh, yeah. We used to go there all the time. My parents took me out there. It was way far outside of town. On the way to a lake, I believe. And my parents, we used to stop there and talk about it and have lunch. Yeah.
I think that was a hint from your parents.
Uh-oh.
just saying.
Nice.
Yeah.
But
I'm in that kind of mood.
It was really spooky. I never saw the ghost, never heard the girl, but it was just one of those legends that that kind of, you know, freaked me out. It was weird. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, who's this?
This is Robin.
Hey, Robin.
Also
what's going
known
on?
As China. Hi. I just feel it's easier just to say Robin than my
Shine
than Shine. Name.
I don't even know how to pronounce it, so I'm not even trying.
Is it Shine or Chine?
Shine. You know, it was actually a typo when I registered. I was having difficulty with my keypad on my phone, and I was trying to write some fancy exotic name, and then I just thought, fuck it, and just left it like that.
So what was it supposed to be?
Well, I was going to do this, like, artsy-fartsy China Raven, you know, one of those... You know, everybody has to have some exotic, strange name. And I was just so frustrated with my keypad. I just said, you know, really? You know, anyhow, the reason why I'm calling now, I lived in Vegas and I even worked at one of the casinos at MGM when I worked at Cirque du Soleil. And we lived there for about, 5 years. And in fact, one of the gentlemen that I worked with, as you all know, I worked at Star Trek at the Hilton. And one of the gentlemen I worked with, his mother was actually the secretary for, I want to say his name is Sam. It was in the movie Casino. Robert De Niro played the guy.
Yeah.
You remember Casino? Okay. I don't remember. Sam
Rothenstein.
Yes. Yes. And I guess the locals, you know, there are, as far as I know, stratosphere when you talk about suicide. A lot of the people that, I don't know, it's just like there are a majority of them that just come into town just to commit suicide there, you know, kind of like for the drama and theatric. I don't know. It's and as far as the windows being shut, I'm sure like with Luxor and some of the others, you know, that's more so safety. But there are... and I also worked at the Psychic Eye in Las Vegas as one of the psychics. So I kind of was kind of tapped in with the whole metaphysical community. I don't know. I will be honest with you. I don't think many of the sightings or scenes that are what people assume are hauntings are necessarily, you know, it's kind of more the woo-woo factor. But, of course, the Bally's Hotel, well, actually, it used to be the old MGM, that fire. Yeah. That's a very, you know, I'm really careful because I'm even just saying psychic, it sounds so bizarre and strange. And yet I'm consider myself a very healthy skeptic because I really don't fully understand what it is that some of us do, are not, there's a lot of, fraudulence. There's a lot of manipulation of people that really don't need to see a psychic.
Yeah.
That just need therapy. Or they don't know how to have power over their own lives and making decisions. And
you need like,
so
a life like a life coach or something. I would think that some
really
of these people would go just to talk to somebody.
Yeah, but I do use clairvoyant. I do see places. I've remote viewed during readings on accident. And what I mean by remote viewing, it's not like I took an Ed Dean's course and I'm at home practicing finding targets. I don't really... I just think that's kind of like... I don't have time for that.
But you can find gold. Ed Dame says you can find gold.
Yeah, but you know, that's the thing, is people that are really, the people that are sound-minded and healthy-minded about it will be honest and tell you, no, I'm not like Superman. I don't see and know all. And nobody is really 99% accurate, you know? But there are situations that have happened to me that I've seen things and even future things with dates, last names, that I would have had no way of knowing. And I've been doing it for quite a while that I still am. I'm more interested in finding out what is the possible biology or science behind it, because I've heard every ghost story and psychic experience out there.
Like
so
what the mechanism is behind the...
Well, I just think that, first of all, I know I'm going off on a different subject here, and I haven't talked about it in the forum only because I don't. I've been studying it for so long, and no one knows. You know, no one knows, and it can be easy to say, you're a crazy artsy bitch, you know? I mean, it's so simple in the forum atmosphere to go there. So I don't really entertain it. But I don't think there's the kind of, I think maybe there's a gentleman, there's a couple gentlemen that are study psychology and parapsychology from a scientific approach of trying to figure out what is actually happening, you know, and of course weeding out a lot of people that are, you know, I'm sure they vet many people that are just, you know, there's probably very, very few that are surprising. So I think a lot of it is finding, because it's a controversial, you got that, religion, spiritual aspect of it. Parapsychology is not going to get funded by many people in physics. We all know that, you know, and now I can't stand, I don't watch Ghostbuster shows, TV shows. And, you know, even these podcasts, sometimes it's like, you know, I'd really am curious, like, what is operating in the brain? And if they are crazy, I mean, how do these people, the people that are really gifted that can do this? But again, it's a really slippery slope, because there's a lot of readers out there that are like, I get $60. Well, $60 an hour is nothing compared to some of them out there, but I can easily tell this poor girl in 4 months everything will be okay, and then secure my money in my pocket. It's just too many people that get wrapped up into that.
Has anybody ever come back and told you that you were correct that you were not right?
Oh, no. I've had many people. I mean, many people that have confirmed things I completely forgot I said, because they will record it or write it down. And again, I didn't really... It's not like I grew up and said, I want to be psychic. It wasn't something I decided. When I was in Vegas performing, I took a job doing retail at the metaphysical store. And many people told me I was very good at what I do. And then, I don't know, I just decided to bite the bullet. So I got the license. I met with Oscar Gold, the mayor, Oscar Goodman, you know, at City Hall. And that was a funny experience. And they just would come back and confirm. But I always make it clear to them that I can't really be certain of what I'm seeing.
So what does it feel like? Do you go into a trance? Do you meditate?
What
happens in your brain that makes you...
I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not wearing a big, shells around my neck and bones. No, because I'm like a real normal...
I'm disappointed.
I'm an artist.
I'm disappointed, Sean. That's the exact picture that I had in my head of you.
Yeah, no, I'm not the granola, like, oh, la-di-da. And you know, the thing is, too, is that... And I think it was B-Dub that mentioned in a thread... I'm tired of hearing words energy transformation. I think it was Lisa Gar, some host you guys were talking about. And those people drive me crazy too. And I work with some of them. And I'm like, you know, I just try to keep it. I really do steer more towards the, I would really like to know. Obviously, it's about belief and non-belief. And you're welcome to believe whatever you feel or not believe. But I kind of am hoping that it can get dug past that. But it doesn't seem to. It just seems to have stopped. Yeah. And I think that's why people have lost interest in paranormal, and they don't take it seriously, because it's become
it's a parody of itself, joke. Really.
Exactly. And but the only reason why I kind of continued, when my husband and I left Vegas, and as you all know, I'm full-time, I'm a painter, and then once or twice a week I'm doing the psychic readings. And a lot of times I will surprise myself. I mean, you could say, am I observing the person? Am I seeing things? Are they responding? Honestly, I see things before they even sit down in the chair. I don't even use a deck of cards. I do have the cards there because people feel like, oh, you got to pull my card. Like, that's more for them.
Right.
The whole theatrics of it.
Right.
But I was just talking with Lloyd Auerbach, in fact, just an hour ago. He's part of the Rhine Institute of Research of Parapsychology. And he, is not interested in the fluff of it. And I said, you know, I still am curious, like what is it we're doing? If it's real, you know, and again, it's only real if I'm getting that detailed and I'm getting confirmation.
Right.
But there are times when I've had people, the only time I'm blocked and I couldn't read someone is another guy came in and sat down and he was testing me to see if I was psychic. I'm like, dude, I'm not a poodle. I'm not going to jump through a hoop. Don't waste your money. Go.
Was he asking you to give him specific answers? Well, here, like his birthday or his name or something?
No.
That's what I did.
He came in and it's funny because before he came in the room where I read, I just thought, I think the next reading is just not going to be, I really don't feel like reading. I just feel something, you know. But then again, that could be my imagination, not psychic. And, he sits down, and I could not get or see anything. And it was like, usually I will pick up things like an animal or a pet or words. And it was like, I felt like, you know, all of us, when we meet people or even in the forum, you know how we kind of form an opinion by their language? We're all intuitive that way by our gut. This was like nothing. So I knew something was up. And he goes, I said, have you seen a psychic? I said, well, let me tell you how I work, you know, because everybody's different. And I said, can I ask you, this was all I want to know. Why are you getting a reading? I rarely ask someone, like, well, once in a while, like, why are you getting a reading? It just came out. Like, what are you here for?
Right.
And then he kind of stopped and he said, well, you don't know me. And I'm like, I'm new here since we moved. I don't know anyone that comes in here at all. He goes, no, but you don't know me. Like, what are you like, you know? Oh, who is he? You know, it was just so arrogant.
Right.
I said, no, I don't. Turns out he was the owner of another metaphysical shop.
So he was just scoping you out to see the competition, basically.
But I think he was just curious because he started to hear about me. And, you know, I could have, he goes, well, we can pull the cards and play around. I said, no, I'm not going to play. This is, you know, no, we'll just tell them I was blocked and I couldn't read you, sorry.
So
you know, I'm not even going to give you that, you know?
Shine, do you think there'll be a someday where science will be able to explain where psychic readings things come from?
I think it's about money for the research. And I don't even know what that research would be. I mean, I know they have like, the American Rhine, and there's another place where they have the, you know, controlled subjects and all that. Right. I don't know.
Can I jump in?
In the meantime,
yeah, go ahead, Onan. Hold on, Shane. Go ahead, Onan.
UNC used to have a school, I think it was Russell Targ, that headed up their parapsychology department. And you're right, it is tough to get funding. There is a lot of hard science that's been done, although most of it was done probably 25, 30 years ago.
Right.
There's no real, there's nothing definitive that's out there, and nothing that's been put forward since that time has brought any new ground. So yeah, it's not so much that there's no interest, it's that it's all old ground and nobody has dug up anything new to talk about.
Or there's no breakthroughs, or with the studies they have done, it's been inconclusive, or there's really no scientific breakthroughs them to keep going forward with different studies.
I don't want to get contentious with psychics, but I think half of them were to develop their communicative skills and get a degree behind their name, they'd probably make pretty good therapists. Because cold reading is really nothing more than just connecting with a person and being able to recognize subliminal cues as to what's a hit and what's not.
That I know with myself, yeah, granted, you could do that, but I do see things like viewing a movie in my head and hearing, getting a name and even last names. And I've even gotten the clothes children are wearing when they went missing and where they were in the car and the color of the car and where it was parked. How can that, what is that? You see, even I am. And
well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have all the data in front of me. You know, what I can tell you is that.
And I don't, certainly don't,
I certainly don't mean to be dismissive because I do have a psychic story that involves my wife that I've got no answer for. I do, you know, analytically, I pretty much believe that it's, you know, we record the hits and we disregard the misses. But
yeah.
All that being said, one of my wife's closest friends. Let me finish. One of my wife's closest friends was going through a very bad time about 15 years ago. Her mother had just died, and one of the things that they did for her mother was they buried her in with a casket full of yellow roses. And then she went to a psychic, and they were talking, and the psychic said, "I see your mother in a field of yellow flowers." So it's pretty hard to disregard that. It could just be a lucky guess, but I don't know.
Well, and again, you know, I really, is this Onan I'm talking to?
Yes, it is.
Is this Onan? Okay. You know,
it is.
and we all know that a good 80% of them are just so good at playing the game, I mean, when I hear life coaches and you know, it's become so, you know, you have the yacht club women that are now like, "I'm going to go get my aura fluffed." You know, I mean, it's become like a joke, you know,
yeah.
And there are people that are making insane amounts of money with the joke, like ridiculous. I'm like, you know,
there's
all
one
you
born
is
every minute.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, you don't need a psychic for that. You need a sandwich and a nap. It's that simple. Like, just,
you know what? That works for me every time.
Shine. Yeah. Do you need to be in the room with a person to do a reading of them? Like, do you need to be in physical proximity?
No. I've done them over the phone, and I've even seen people that aren't. I don't mean seeing people that aren't there that are ghosts. I mean, when I say I see a ghost, I see in my mind what the person looked like and what they were, and I get a sense and a feeling and a smell of where they're standing. But that doesn't happen all the time. But if I'm in a reading, like there was this woman that came just out of curiosity to get a reading, and all of a sudden I saw her son and his two friends on a cul-de-sac. This was in Vegas. What they were wearing, walking around the street at the end of the driveway. And it was kind of pulling my attention away from her. And I was like, this is going to sound, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about with you, but who is this boy? Who are these kids? I described what they were wearing, you know, the colors, the house that they were in front of. And she said, "Oh my God." She said, "That's our son, and we went out tonight because I was doing an event. It was a coffee shop music thing, and I was doing readings for fun there. And I saw the kids." Now, that was remote viewing because they were actually, that was at the time that she was there. You know, I mean, so yes, I will see people that I don't need to be right in front of. And sometimes it is easier, and I don't know why. Because if you're looking at a person, it's really easy to go on. But she has long, dark hair and tattoos, so she's got to be like this. Even though I may not be thinking that, there probably is some subconscious level where it will infiltrate in what I'm seeing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So you see pictures when you get an impression of somebody, you see pictures in your mind, or you have smells?
Well, it's just like... if we were talking about Angelina Jolie in, a film, you know? And so we all in our mind are just seeing Angelina Jolie and we're seeing the film. You remember that scene in Breaking Bad when this happened? And all of a sudden we all internally see it in our mind's eye.
Right.
It's like that. That's how I see it. But I'll get the images coming and then sometimes a new one will come in. You know, like I'll see an office and I'll see the cubicles and I'll see the decoration in where the person works and all that. Yeah.
So how do you know that that isn't just your brain doing that or
yeah,
do you?
Okay.
You think it's
know.
Something on the outside?
I don't know. I mean, we all say, I mean, I say this, I talk about guides and energies and, you know, but then I'm wondering, well, if someone passed away and I see them clearly with the person in the reading, I don't even know how I feel more about the spiritual God angels aspect of it, because that's getting, that's just as tricky.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, I don't know.
I don't think anybody knows, but I think everybody has some sort of precognitive thought or feeling or something, you know, where you think your friend is going to, or you're thinking of your friend and they call, you know, that kind of thing.
I've had instances where I've thought of, you know, the old thinking of a song and then you turn the radio on and it's there.
Yeah.
Little things like that. Yeah. Thinking of a sometimes I'll even have a dream of someone and then see them the next day.
Yeah, really, that's just... Yes, you know, I don't want to be the one who rains on everybody's parade, but that's really just recording the hits.
And that's your job description, though, Owen.
Oh, well, okay. Well, then I'm doing a good job. But it's, we always remember the significant moments that, oh, wow, I was just thinking of you and you called.
Yeah.
You know, also, disregard the 45 times we've been thinking about them.
Right.
I don't want to talking.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I don't want to sound like George Norrie too much, but he goes on about 11:11 a lot. And I see 11:11 on my clock and on my phone a lot. But
of course
then again,
you do.
I'm seeing 10:38 now. Yeah. And I'm not recording that, but I saw 10:38.
Or even if you were only seeing 11:11, how many other clocks out there are going 11:12 or 11:10?
Right.
You know, there's no, you know, making something spectacular out of an arbitrary number is a bit, well, you know, maybe if we put some reality on this, we'd see it a bit differently.
Yeah, but so, what about 444? I saw that all the time.
Maybe your clock's broken.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just every time I happened to look up, I saw it was 444 in the afternoon.
Dude, I see 420 twice a day, man.
Wow.
Wait, is that V Dub that's talking? That just said 420?
Yeah, that was
it.
B-Dub.
Was, yes.
Okay.
Hello. Hi, Shine.
Hey, how you doing? So, listen, I'm going to let you guys go, but I am going to call back in on the Halloween and share a couple of my the spookiest of ghost activities.
Okay.
The nasty one that threw stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, Shine.
All
thanks
right.
for calling.
Okay, guys.
Nice talking to you.
Have a good one.
Okay. Bye bye.
That was good, and that's a really good point, because we don't know where that comes from, for that influence. And we've all had those feelings where, you know, deja vu or, you know, precognition. I haven't been able to move things. When I was a kid, I used to lay in my bed and try to turn the light on just by thinking about it. But, of course, it never happened. So
it's
I masturbated
never
and I went to
believed hard
sleep.
Enough.
That's exactly
if
what
only
it
you believed harder, it would have happened.
I don't know. That'd be quite a feat to be able to move things just by thinking of them. Oh, the bras.
I'm okay with using my hands, but.
any other urban legend, you guys? Did we kind of got sidetracked there? We want to move on to another topic.
I've got one, and the story getting up to us a little more interesting than the actual story, but I don't have a lot of time before I got to run. I live in a rural part of North Carolina, and there's a convenience store about 10 minutes from my house, and it's been there for a long time. And when we first moved here, it really was your old style country store. You walked in and there was a pickle barrel and there was a checkerboard on top of it, and there were always two people playing checkers. And I've gotten to know most people in that store pretty well. Well, the store's kind of upgraded and the pickle barrel's no longer there, but some of the people still hang. And anyway, they were asking what was going on, and I said, well, I'm a bit plussed because I got to come up with some urban legend tonight, and I've been so busy at work, I really haven't had much of a chance to think about it. And Ernie, that's his name, Ernie, says to me, why don't you talk about the Mako lights? And I look at him like, what the fuck are you talking about? Well, it turns out that there's this haunted story that took place outside of Wilmington in an area that later became known as Mako. And what happened was that somewhere in the 1800s, around 1860, 1870.
It always happens in the 1800s, doesn't it? With these ghost stories.
It does.
Go ahead.
It was a popular time. Anyway, this guy was an engineer on a train, and he, I don't know how the trains ran in the 1860s, but they were much smaller businesses then. And, you know, a train train company would run between three cities, and that would be all it did. Anyway, this guy was watching the tracks, and he noticed that a train was coming towards him on the same tracks, and he started trying to wave the at that time, the gas lights, the whatever they were. Anyway, he was unsuccessful, and the trains hit each other, and he lost his head in the train accident, and they searched. They never found his head. For years afterwards, people saw the lights of those trains moving down the tracks to the tune of, there were something like over 1,000 witnesses that were on record of saying they had seen them. And many of them were credible witnesses. And one of them was, I can't think of his name now. President Cleveland, I think. Anyway, he's on record as saying he saw the lights as well. And then when the train tracks were torn up in the 70s, the lights went away and haven't been seen since.
Hmm.
That's my story.
I think George Norrie Soundboard has a question for you here.
Can we assume, other than interpretation, that something happened?
Oh, George, you're a genius.
George is good.
That's deep. George, so, Onan?
Yeah, that's sharp. That is a sharp man.
Yeah. He's smooth. Smooth.
And that didn't sound like he was reading that off a card either.
Well, exactly. Indeed.
So something did happen, indeed. Wow. That's incredible. Yeah.
Can we assume that something happened? That's a pretty good story. I like that.
So I missed this part in the story. Were they the train lights or were they the handheld lights that the engineers held?
I'm thinking they were the handheld lights.
Okay.
The semaphores.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Yes.
That's what they're called.
Isn't semaphore when you use flags in the Navy to...
I think that's also...
Only if the flags are on fire. Yes, they are flags, so I don't know. But that's the story.
Huh.
Good point.
Uh-oh. You know what we need? Yeah! Oh, not cheering. That was the wrong one. Darn.
There we go.
So Onan, you've never actually seen these lights.
No. They quit being seen somewhere in the 70s.
So
I didn't live here then.
You're a pretty skeptical individual, so, and you tend to as a skeptical individual, you look to science to explain a phenomena. So I'm wondering if you have like a scientific theory why something like that.
I do. I do actually. You know, considering the story starts taking place in the 1870s, and it goes up to 1970. That's 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 10 people a year. More people than that are getting whacked out on alcohol every day. So I'm saying, we had a bunch of drunks, and it was rural North Carolina. Yep. It was a bunch of drunks.
I would agree.
So you don't think it happened? You think it was just made up, or people believed that they saw the lights?
Yeah, I think people believed that they saw it. I don't think anybody was being, well, I'm sure some people were probably being fraudulent, but I think most people probably believed their story.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like I've drunk a lot of alcohol in my life, and I've never hallucinated from it. Now maybe I'm
not
really. You're still an amateur.
I'm not really committed to my art, but
you lack dedication, sir.
Yeah. So you're saying that the 10 people a year who reported the lights were hardcore alcoholics, including President Cleveland?
Yes.
Okay.
That's one of them gotcha questions.
I wonder if President Cleveland has a history of alcoholism. Let's ask the internet.
So Cleveland was one of the persons that saw the lights, huh?
America's least healthy presidents, number one, Grover Cleveland. Well, condition was likely exacerbated by his heavy drinking. Onan, I think you hit a home run there, buddy.
Yeah.
Well played, sir.
Very nice.
I'm glad I restored your faith in me.
Yes. Well played. Great. Good show.
Very nice, sir. I saw that the lottery...
I'm not done.
Oh, you're
not? I'm not done.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Why is it that the drunks stopped after they took the train tracks up? If they don't report it anymore, but it was all due to alcohol-related hallucinations, and why is it that when they pulled the train tracks up?
An excellent question.
Yeah.
It was right around that time in the 70s that alcohol became more expensive. So they started going to moonshine, which was distilled in lead-lined pipes, and all those bastards went blind so they couldn't see anything.
The end. And they all lived happily ever after.
No, they all died.
Okay.
Wow. We're going to have to wait to see how that one plans out. Or not.
I guess so.
Every time the lottery gets up to like $400 million or so, you see these odds that come out. People saying, well, you have better odds of getting struck by lightning and killed than to win, you know, the lottery. And I saw that there were a bunch of different odds that I never realized before, that you have a 3,623 chance in one of being injured by mowing the lawn. You have... 18,000 to 1 chance of being murdered. I think the lottery is like 35 million to 1, or it depends on really what the lottery is and what the numbers are.
Yeah,
I want to go back to that murder one.
You have?
I think if I could rub elbows with all the people on the forum, I think my odds would go up to about 1 in 5.
Here's one: odds of dating a supermodel, 88,000 to 1.
Oh, I like those odds.
Yeah. So you can, odds of getting hemorrhoids, 25 to 1. That's not very good. Odds of being audited by the IRS is 175 to 1.
Really? I've been audited twice. What the hell's up with that?
Oh, well, here's
one. No one likes you.
Odds of dating a millionaire is 215 to 1.
Well, that's better than winning the lottery.
I know. So you just really need to find a millionaire you can date. Odds of finding out your child is a genius, 250 to 1.
So what are the chances of marrying a millionaire supermodel?
35,000 to 1.
Well, I like those odds.
All I can say is that I can't wait to marry the millionaire, so I got enough money to play the lottery.
Well, no, I'll marry the millionaire, divorce them, take their money, and go get myself a supermodel.
You have
I like
a plan.
How you think.
You have a great plan.
Yeah.
Odds, I think that could work. Plan. That's what I tell people when they in interviews when they ask me where to see myself in 5 years. Gainfully divorced from a millionaire dating a supermodel.
Odds.
How
of
many jobs have you you got?
What?
No, I said, how many jobs do you get using that line?
Oh, I get offers all the time.
The actual odds of being struck by lightning are 576,000 to 1. Odds of being killed by lightning is 2.3 million to 1. Odds of getting away with murder is 2 to 1. Are you kidding me?
Nope, that sounds about right.
Actually, that seems optimistic about like catching murderers.
Yeah.
Those numbers would be probably a lot more in favor of getting away with murder if people weren't so stupid.
Odds of striking it rich on Antiques Roadshow, 60,000 to 1. So he could be rich on Antiques Roadshow.
I'm writing this down, guys.
Yeah. I'm still looking at the other good ones. Odds of winning an Olympic medal is 662,000 to 1. Interesting.
And all I got to do is find some pawn shop and buy one.
And you can buy one.
Yeah.
And also...
Just scratch their name. Go ahead.
The final one is odds of being injured by using a chainsaw, 4,464-1.
I got that one.
Yeah. Oh, has that happened to you? Have you beaten the odds on that? Or
I have,
come
yeah,
to the odds?
Right after the last big hurricane that hit us,
yeah.
I was clearing some trees, and I was trimming some branches, and all of a sudden a big-ass branch fell down on my wrists and drove the saw into my leg.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
It sounds much worse than it was. I mean, it was an ugly little scar, you know. It's about 3 inches long, but it wasn't very deep. It didn't.
I'm sorry. What was 3 inches long?
My cut.
Oh.
for that reference, you need to go back to jazz,
George. So insensitive. So insensitive. Can't believe
he's a bastard.
He really is. What else, guys? You have anything else you want to talk about tonight?
You were going to talk about sayings and where they originated from.
Oh yeah, I can find that. And if you're keeping track, the UGG count is 553 tonight, I believe.
And what are the odds of breaking 500 in UGGs?
1-to-1.
I like those odds.
Like those odds. Yeah, okay. So, you know, there's phrases that we use every day, like it's raining cats and dogs.
Like,
yeah, if you're Eddie Dean on the Gabcast, it's a lot. And the origins of those phrases, we have no idea really where they came from. And if
I would love it if the origin of raining cats and dogs was actually because it once rained cats and dogs. But I'm guessing that's not right.
I actually think you might be close to the truth.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, really?
And I'm glad
I've never
that
seen
I
that movie.
Wait,
no, it's
what
not.
Happened?
It's not. I use raining cats and dogs, and I don't have the description in front of me of that particular phrase. So I'm regretting using that phrase because I can't explain it now.
Oh, well, there's this little thing called the internet.
Yeah. Well, see, I can't use the internet. I don't understand the internet. I'm looking for good ones, and I'm not finding anything. How about brownie points? You say somebody gets brownie points. Let's see where that came from. Please wait while I read. No, that one's too long.
Stand by.
Does the brownie points have anything to do with Girl Scouts or something like that?
Possibly. I don't know. I think this bit is failing as we speak it. It's not really working very well.
Here is one origin for cats and dogs. One supposed origin is that the phrase derives from mythology. Dogs and wolves were attendants to Odin, the god of storms, and sailors associated them with rain. Witches, who often took the form of their familiars, cats, are supposed to have ridden the wind. Well, some evidence would be nice. There doesn't appear to be any support to support this notion. Okay. So witches and cats, Odin and dogs, storms. There you go.
I've got another explanation for that. It's saying that in 17th, 18th century England, if there was a really heavy rain, you would basically have like a flash flood that carried the corpses of a bunch of dead dogs and dead cats along. So that should brighten up your evening.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. That's sad.
Okay. Dead dogs. Let's keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got nothing. I can't find the page that I had on my tablet here that explained all these things.
All righty then.
Good point.
And I had to close my soundboard because, never mind.
I sent you the link.
I think we need some more George Norrie soundboard prank calls.
Actually, I did download a couple prank calls. They're not from George Norrie. They're not from me, but there was a guy that had a similar number to the Burger King some Burger King number, and there was a few people that called in. One is complaining, and one is a girl that calls in asking for what her schedule is going to be the next week. I think the schedule one is funnier, so let me play that one right here.
Repeat that again. My phone's coming out.
This is Sarah. I was calling for the Burger King.
Correct. Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought something happened. They told me to call in on Monday to get my schedule, so that's what I'm doing.
All right. What was your last name?
Dominguez. It's D-O-M-I-N-G-U-E-Z.
All right. Looks like you were scheduled this morning from 8 a.m. to 1, so you missed that one.
Oh, they didn't tell me that. They told me to call today and to find out for my schedule for Tuesday.
You know
they
who told you that?
They didn't tell me that at all. I'm sorry, what?
You know who told you that one? Who told you to call now?
It was William.
William, that son of a bitch. Fucking William. If you see William, you tell him that Kevin's looking for him, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right, your next one is going to be tomorrow.
Okay.
You're working from 4:30 a.m. until 5:30 a.m. Okay?
So tomorrow I work from 4:30 a.m. to 5:30. I thought they were open only at 6 o'clock, or they started open at 6.
Oh, no. So tomorrow you're actually on feathering and butchering. So when the chickens come in, you got to take all the feathers off of them. And then you need to separate the parts of the cow that we use for the patties. So that's just a morning thing. It takes like an hour. It's really gross. So wear some old clothes. But you only have to do it for an hour. And it pays double. So you got that going for you.
Okay.
And then Wednesday, I'm going to need you to do 5:30 to 7:30 a.m., and that's basically cleanup.
5:30 to what?
5:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m.
Okay.
And that's cleanup. So, you know, the people that are in there before you, taking all the feathers off the chickens and cutting all the meat, you just got to clean all that blood and feathers and stuff like that after that. And that's only an hour. Also pays double. And then, can you do Thursday as well?
Yes.
Okay. You'll just have to do the register.
Okay.
Basically, there'll be two people on the register. The zero doesn't work. So whenever they type in something, you just have to type in the zero. That's pretty much your job all day.
Okay.
And then Friday.
She goes for it.
So Thursday at what time?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you the time. How about, it looks like we'll be busy from noon to 4:30 p.m. Okay.
So you said from 12 to 4:30?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then we'll give you the day off Friday.
Okay.
Saturday, you want to do blood duty or cleanup duty on Saturday?
I'll do cleanup.
Cleanup? Okay. Yeah, no one likes, taking the feathers out of the chickens. So weird. And, then we can just repeat that schedule. Do you have any questions?
So Saturday would be the 5:30 to 7:30?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Okay, and that's all?
Make sure you tell Kevin
that son of a bitch.
William. I'm sorry, I'm Kevin. I don't even know his name anymore. I'm looking for him.
Okay.
And then write that down. Say, Kevin's going to get you.
Okay.
You have any questions?
No, that's it.
Do you have any questions about the first two shifts you have?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
All right.
And then anything sounds strange to you?
Very strange.
To expand on that, please.
I didn't know that's what they did in the mornings.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that like really kind of scary?
Very.
So basically what you do, you come in, they give you an apron and some rubber gloves, and those chickens, they're loud and they squawk, and you just gotta, you twist the neck and that shuts them up.
A what?
And you just gotta twist their neck, so it separates the spinal cord from the nerves, so then they die. And you'll do about 200 chickens that way.
Snap,
and then
snap,
you just start taking
snap.
The feathers out, and then we reuse the feathers and we sell them to Walmart as down comforters. So next time you buy a comforter from Walmart, remember, those are Burger King chicken feathers.
Are you kidding?
No, how do you think we turn so much profit? Got to use, it's where we have like a Native American kind of saying, you know, you got to use 100% of the bird, no leftovers.
And this is for real, you're not joking with me.
Do I sound like I'm joking?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm 100% joking with you. In fact, you're not even calling Burger King right now.
I'm not.
No, you're not. There's actually, it's posted wrong on the website. You got the area code. It's not 312, it's 773. So you're calling somebody in an office in Chicago that gets these calls all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, sorry about
that. You just made my life like really bad for like 5 minutes.
Freaked you out, didn't I? You're about to go to work at Burger King and start chopping the heads off chickens, pulling feathers out. Yeah, sigh of relief. None of that happens, and I'm making it all up. And I don't know who William is, so don't tell him. I'm going to kick his ass. And you enjoy the rest of your day, and call back using 773.
Oh, my goodness. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
At least he told her the right number.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
At least he fessed up and came clean at the end of the call.
What a pussy.
I know. Come on. What kind of a prank caller are you? I know. That's pretty funny. There was
the nicest prank caller I've ever heard of.
I know. You're really supposed to screw people over and get her to go into Burger King at 4:30 in the morning. Ready to chop the heads off chickens.
4 o'clock in the morning, they're going to give you a biohazard suit and a chainsaw, and you're just going to go to town. You're just going to go to town on those damn cows.
I thought that was pretty funny. There's a second one, but I'll save that for another time. All right, we are winding down. Onan had to leave, and the Gabcast cannot go on without Onan. So thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. Thanks to Shine for calling in and talking with us tonight. Thanks to Onan, B-Dub, and Jazzmunda. I'm Andy Dean. We'll see you next time, everybody. Good night.
Good night, people.
Good night, everyone.
In the beat of an eye.
Is that right? The beat of an eye or the click of an eye? Something like that. Oh, I just invented my own saying. Whatever.
My God, there's something wrong with my mouth.